How's it going? How you been?
Let's get started.
What's scrapping?
Yo, yo.
You are now tuned in to Aljo the Funk Master. Watch your grill, you'll get knocked out cold fast. And talking shit, now we talking facts. Where the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and a fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Aljamain Sterling.
It ain't shit, it ain't safe.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps. And we are getting ready to head back to beautiful New York. Today's Monday. And we're going to head back to Long Island for a couple of weeks, waiting to get some follow-up exams done with my neck and my wrists, try to get these bad boys in order and see what the next steps are going to be for these. Going forward for my future, for just injuries and just trying to get my body back to 100%, as close to 100% as it can possibly be. It's really painful to sleep at night. I got a new pillow that my manager got for me, thinking that that was going to be the savior of everything, and it didn't work. Comfortable pillow though, but it didn't work. I still got the pinched nerves and everything, herniated disc, bulging disc. There's nothing I could do other than just take a lot of time off and just completely rehab the hell out of it, or just get the surgery done and just call it a day. And hopefully I can still keep a lot of my mobility from that. So that's kind of the thing that I'm very, very nervous about. So I'm trying to see some of the best guys in the world for that, so that I can make sure we are making the best decision possible, so that longevity, I can have my health still intact when it's all said and done for competing as a mixed martial artist and all that good stuff. Plumi just came back in town. He had a big, big win, very dominant over a tough, I think his name was Abel or Albert. Just say his last name, Trujillo. He's from Alliance MMA over in California. Tough dude. I think he was like 5-1 before they fought. Beat a tough prospect in Santos, who's from Staten Island, New York. And that was the undefeated prospect, who was like 4-0, knocking everybody out. Trujillo beat him, then Pumi beat Trujillo. So big win for him, very dominant. It was on Fight Pass, it was the main event. Cut the monster promo at the end as well. So style, could fight, could cut promos, what else do you need? You know, so he's 3-0 now, and hopefully the next one could be on the contenders, and let's get this guy to the big show, because this is just child's play for him. The guy literally didn't get touched in 4 rounds. It was just dominant. He called himself the Black Khabib, which was hilarious. Dropped him with a spinning elbow and dropped him with the early right hand, I think, in the first round. So, fun fight. Dominant from beginning to end. And he's out here, he bore his belt, and it was like, you know what? Let's just get the trolling going. Let's embrace the role. If this is where the box that I'm going to be put in, the actor, for an illegal knee that wasn't anything acting about it, I got crushed. So you see all these other videos with these guys who get grazed, the arm is blocking it, and they're taking time. They're taking time. And then people are saying, I'm acting. I got freaking unloaded. It was like a fully loaded clip that just got emptied into my head, and I'm the one that's acting. There was another one with the Russian guy, and I'm a fan of his, Alesky Olenik. Someone sent me that video. I thought it was hilarious. He got hit with a foot from Curtis Blades and looked like the toe might have scraped his head. Took time because it was a legal strike. Okay, that's fair. Take time. Recover. They stopped the fight after like 20 seconds. He went over to the corner, had his arms over the thing, maybe like 30 seconds, and they were talking to him for a little bit, and then they stopped the fight. And I'm like, this is Russia, this is your guy? You guys just attacked me. All of you guys attacked me. Well, the majority of you guys attacked me. I had some Russian fans who actually reached out with that old email and sent me some nice things saying that they're embarrassed for their Patriots and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. And it just shows not everyone's the same, you know, so you can't just take one brush and paint it for everybody or something. Other than that, we had some good fights. I forgot where I was. Oh, we were trying to go shopping. So we had two crazy nights, like long nights where up till 4:30 in the morning, and the other one, I didn't go to bed till 7:30 in the morning. So I haven't done that since like college. That's what it feels like. Well, I probably have done that in the recent years, but I just don't remember it because it just doesn't happen that often. But it was two very long nights, to say the least. But we had a good time. Becca came out. We had a great time. And we did our thing. Had a couple drinks. The food. Bomb. But yeah, we had a great time just trying to enjoy life while I can. I did two long training camps back to back. Obviously, the first one didn't go through because Pedion pulled out, and then we had the second fight camp, and then I had the wrestling match in December, so I really didn't take any time off. I've been training pretty much since August when I was helping Marab, because I didn't know when I was going to get the title shot, but I knew I was next. So when I was helping Marab Corner, helped Mizuki, helped Wyman, and I've been training since August all the way through till last week, where after the fight, obviously, and it's been a long time. Sometimes you need a break. So I'm taking a much deserved break right now and get myself back to where I can start taking strikes to the head and all that in terms of like sparring. Obviously, I don't really plan to get hit too much, but I want to be able to get back into contact action in the next few weeks. I'm hoping maybe two or three more. We'll see. Just kind of just taking things day by day and seeing how I'm feeling. But so far, no post side effects. The worst of it was like the first 2 days, which was Saturday and Sunday, but I didn't have any like vertigo or anything like that. When I sparred with Zabit and he cracked me with the kick wrapped around the back of my head. I had some really bad symptoms after that, and I didn't go out. Just like this one, I didn't go out, and the Marlon one, I went out and I had no post symptoms, but I still took the protocols and the time to not take any strikes in my head. I took time off before I sparred with the Brett Johns fight. And with the Brett Johns fight, when I sparred, I think it was only two sparring sessions. And both of them, I told the guys, hey guys, I'm just going to wrestle you. You guys could try to take my head off, but just know I don't plan on getting punched. I don't plan on getting punched in the fight. I'm going to just wrestle hump you the entire time. And that's what I did. Circle, circle, circle. Guys tried to come after me, grab the leg, see the leg, hump the leg, take him down, break the leg, walk away. But that's what I did. So here I am now. The fights were really good. Now, there was a couple of quick ones. Matt Smellersberger knocked out Jason Witt in like 14 seconds. That was like unreal. 16 seconds, it says on here. 16. It says 16 officially. So knocked him out quick. And we were just talking about this last night, like the calf kicks with Al and I, because Al just got back into town also doing some rehab for his knee. He's going to give it one last hoorah with the PI for a full month of training and see what happens of PT work and see if they can get him back into action. And we're talking about the calf kicks. This guy threw a calf kick and he just got hit right on the button. They looked like a short shot, no windup, just timed it perfectly, dropped him. His eyes went back, his head hit the canvas. And we were just saying like, this is the savior to the calf kicks. If you could just get one clean one, if the guy throws a calf kick and you could time it perfectly, that could be the deterrent for people who just go trigger happy and just start button mashing, spamming that B button like a Super Smash Brothers or something. So, yeah, I hit off that, dropped over, quick fight. So I don't really know much about him. I think he was on the Contenders too. He's 8-2 now. And no, he's two fights into the UFC. The other one was Art of War Cage Fighting 17. And he won that via elbow. So he's 2-0 in the UFC right now. Ginny Frey, she gets her first win in the UFC. I know she's a little small for the weight class. And she's coming up to 115. She lost two in a row. Kay Hansen and Loma Lukbumi. So for her to get in the win column, she could finally say, like, you know, I won at the highest level, which is cool. Because people think it's so easy to just win in the UFC. It's like, it's really not. Like, those guys I look at, like Jim Miller, Cerrone, Nate Diaz, everyone who's had like 20 plus fights, Tony Ferguson, like people like that who've had just been around forever. Even a Diego Sanchez, like winning in the UFC is hard. And guys like that who could stick around for this long, super impressive, man. Because not a lot of people even make it past their first contract. So you gotta keep things in perspective and realize how good of a feeling it can be and fulfilling to just get that first dub, man. Get your hand raised inside the octagon. You're just like on cloud nine. You just can't wait to just do it again, you know? So hopefully a lot more success to her. The next one, Courtney Casey versus JJ Aldrich. I didn't get to really watch this one in depth, so I can't really say much about this. And the Nats Rat fight, I didn't get to watch this one in depth because we were supposed to go shopping. Like I said, we had a late night. We didn't get our day started till 5:30. So we did our photo ops outside for like half hour hungover and just tired because we didn't sleep. And after that, we pretty much got ready to leave, but we wasted the whole day inside. So we didn't really have time to do much shopping at all. And we did spend a pretty penny though, but everything felt a little rushed more than I would have normally liked it. But it was cool. When I did get to see him at in this fight, he was kind of on his bike, hitting him when he could hit him, and that was pretty much it. So it was a good fight either way. I thought Nasrat looked good from the times that we got to watch. We were at Blondie's, so I got to catch like one round, then we left to try, because we didn't eat. So then we tried to, it was a vicious cycle yesterday. It was from Saturday to yesterday, it was just vicious, man. Like, just rough. Very, very rough. Ronnie Yahya beat Ray Rodriguez. I kind of saw this one coming. It's like, Yahya gets you down, good luck down there. I always wanted to fight him because I always felt like two high-level jiu-jitsu guys, obviously, I could take the path of least resistance and just keep the fight standing, but I would engage with him on the ground just to see how good he really is, because I feel like I'm really good on the ground, and it would just be a fun battle of a chess match to see like who is really the better guy down there. I hear he's like a wet blanket when he takes you down, that cross-side pressure, his shoulder pressure, but I do see a lot of the guys when he's fighting, they aren't doing the right things, like Matt Serra would say, with getting the underhook, getting on your side, staying honest with your frame inside and framing the head so that the guy tries to pass or put shoulder pressure. It's almost a moot point because you can't get that shoulder to head connection because you have your frame inside of their arm. And it just makes things a little bit tough. But when he got him down, controlled him, dominated the whole first round. In the second round, got him down again, more of the same with the first. Pressure against the cage. He put his arm up, got the head and arm triangle choke, and finished it. And I think now they say he has the most wins in bantamweight history, most finishes in bantamweight history with like 9. The guy, it's hard to catch him now because honestly, the guys he's fighting are very submittable. So it's a good feather in his cap, but I think it's time he steps up and gets another top level name, because he fought Ricky Simone, and that was like the last high level guy he fought in terms of rankings. He's fought a lot of high level guys, but in terms of the best guys, when he was on a 4-fight win streak over Johnny Bedford, Masanori Kanahara, Matthew Lopez, and Tanaka, and he beat all those guys, and then he lost to Soto. Then he beat Briones, Russell Doane, Luke Sanders, lost to Ricky Simone, then had a draw, and then he just had to finish with this one. So he's not fighting like the cream of the crop, but he's fighting guys in the middle of the road who are tough and seasoned at this point, and he's getting it done. So I just want to see him against the higher level guys, because I do think his style poses a lot of threats. It's like a bantamweight Damian Maia. You know, he's not really looking to strike, and when he does strike, it's kind of like those oblique side kicks, and he'll throw like a big overhand right, and then you know he's diving in on that single leg, and if he could get you against the cage, eventually he'll just wrap you up, even if you defend, and he'll drag you down somehow, some way, whether it's a roll, or he can get the corner, and then get to your back, and then get on top. Charles Jourdain versus Marcelo Rojo. Crazy fight. This one was really fun to watch. Rojo is the guy who's like, he wins his fights and he does like the little T-Rex. I love it. I don't know what it is, what does that mean, but it's pretty cool, pretty dope, I think. And a unique celebration in itself. So to see him doing that, I thought it was very intriguing. And to see who he was fighting, I was like, this is gonna be a fun fight because Charles Jourdain can bang. He throws down and he's got solid jiu-jitsu as well. So this fight back and forth, both southpaws, but both switching stances a lot. A couple of times Rojo, one of the techniques exactly. I really love that he did. He framed. He threw like a jab. Then he. I think he threw a jab and then he framed with the left hand, and then he stepped through with a spinning back elbow, and he pretty much like missed, but like hit the cage. Kind of gave like Jordan like a haircut, or just kind of like came just shy. I was like, dude, that could have been a one shot like kill, you know. So. Fun fight, back and forth. Charles Jourdain poured it on in the third round, and Rojo, for his UFC debut, the guy looks so freaking good. These guys are getting so good on the regional circuit. Like, they're coming into the UFC ready. It's not like I'm coming into the UFC because I'm a prospect and I got a lot of hype. I'm gonna get some fights where I can probably develop my skills a little bit more. Now, these guys are ready in terms of every facet of the game. They're good grapplers, competent grapplers. They're competent with jiu-jitsu defense. They're good with the stand-up. They're good defensively sound strikers. These guys are just good. So I'm excited to see what he can do next. And of course, I'm excited for Charles Jourdain because, yeah, that guy was making his debut, but you would never have guessed that guy was making his UFC debut just based on how good he looked. And Charles Jourdain had to show up because that guy was getting pushed back for a good amount of the fight, but eventually he found a home for his strikes, put him down, and followed up, and eventually the ref said, was like, yeah, this is too much, a little too much now. I feel bad about this one, Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder. I didn't get to see it because we had guests over. We were rewatching the fights. So we were out, but then we were rewatching the fights. We had guests that live here in Vegas. I haven't seen them in a while. So I was hanging out. The fights were on, but it was more like background sound. So I got to catch like glimpse of it. She looked good. The one thing I do remember her doing was like the barrage of crazy knees that she landed. And then she fell, like tripped up. That cage, I'm telling you guys, people might think this is like an excuse, but honest to God, look how many fighters who never fall, never slip, never slide are sliding all over the canvas these past few weeks. Whatever they're spraying on the cage, I don't know what it is, but they're spraying something in between rounds that's keeping the slickness on the canvas. The canvas is like a cloth. So if it's like if you wrestle, you get a rug burn. Like this will rip and burn off all your skin, like this couch. This is not a leather couch. This is cloth. So this is how it feels. So normally to troubleshoot that, we pour water on the cage or we put water in our mouth, we drink some, we spit some on the floor. We rub our feet in it, get our feet wet so that we can get planted, have a little bit more friction. So when we step, we can stick to the ground. Because when we train, the cages that we use, the canvas type, is completely different from that of the UFC octagon. It's usually like a polyester or like a zebra or a Resilite mat or Dolomar mat. It's like that type of material. So you get a lot more of a false sense of security when it comes to your footwork and your ringmanship and how much pressure you could get when you step on the ground and you push off the ground because you can drive in a little bit more because you're planted. With this, you're sliding. So you're never actually getting your feet underneath you to generate good enough power. And almost like the Ige fight with Gavin Tucker, it almost looked like he pushed off and he stepped a lot further than he wanted to and just got cleaned. But we're getting to that. So you see some of these guys, they're throwing kicks, they're slipping, they're sliding. You would think that the UFC would realize, like, why is everyone falling? And maybe they could do something about it because there have been a lot of people who've complained about it. And it's just, I guess because it's COVID, they got to spray everything down. It's like, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, you get in these fights where the guys are kind of looking like they're looking sloppy, but they're not. It's just the harsh reality of what we're dealing with right now. The one in the Abu Dhabi, there was never any problems with that. I didn't hear anyone talking about it. No whispers, no rumblings or any of that stuff. But this one's fascinating. You see all these people falling. Manuel Cape versus Matthias, whatever. Same thing. I thought Cape should have won that, though, but split decision. I thought the decision should have gone the other way for the second and third round for Cape, who just seemed to keep getting stronger as the fight was going on. But going back to Angela Hill fight, I saw when she fell. I saw the barrage of knees. She looked good from what I was able to see, so I got to go back and actually watch that fight and sit down and break it down for her, obviously for her next one, because she's super talented and she's going to be around for a while. And now, controversial knee. Eric Anders versus Darren Stewart. Now, crazy thing is, Eric Anders did this twice. He threw the first knee and missed. And I think he kind of like just hit the arm of Stewart, but it looked like he was aiming for the head. Now, we like Eric Anders a lot. Rebecca still talks to his, I believe his wife. we sent the video like to them at, while we were at Blondie's, just saying good luck and whatnot. And yeah, so the first one he threw, it looked like it was going towards the head, but I think it hit the arm or whatever. And then this one he threw kind of had him hurt in the same position. This is all in the first round. And then the arm is up, but he throws it to the head. It does hit the head, but it grazes off. It hits the arm first. So a lot of the impact, the power gets dissipated, whatever. Darren still looked exhausted, kind of like how I was in the fourth round, except this was the first round. That is the dip. That is the significant difference right there. Fourth round of action versus the first round of action. And I'm not throwing shade at Darren Stewart. I'm throwing shade at the fans who got the nerve and the audacity to say, I'm faking. How can I fake a knee that was flush to my head? I don't even understand. I didn't even see it. Adios mios. But it hit off the arm, hit his head, took his time, and then he wanted to fight. The same thing I said. The doctor told me to sit down. They let him stand up, and they told him, yeah, the fight's off. You shouldn't be fighting. Obviously, this is a follow-up from the week prior, which was my fight week. Now you have this same exact situation. They're trying to handle it a little bit differently now. But obviously, this was only one round, so the fight never got going. So this turns into a no contest, and the knee... In my opinion, unintentional versus intentional. And like I said, we like Anders. But when I see that, it looked like he was intentionally trying to throw the knee. So in a situation like that, it is intentional. Because it's not like you were aiming for the arm and then, you know, the guy was moving. And that was the difference that they said for my fight with Jan. It was an intentional knee. The ref announced that I was down, still threw the intentional knee. Obviously, did a significant amount of damage. The fight should have been ruled a DQ, which almost never happens, which I'm fascinated to see this twice in 1 week, but how they're both judged so differently because of the circumstances. Now, like I said, I thought he intentionally meant to throw it because he thought that he was up and he misstepped, whatever. I get that. So this turned into a no contest, even though he was very dominant, and it wasn't like there was any moments that Darren Stewart really had in that fight. From what I remember, it wasn't like, you know, back and forth. It was just pretty one-sided as far as I could remember. This next one, Davy Grant versus Jonathan Martinez. I got to watch that. I just saw that he went to the body with the right hand, the highlights, and then left hook over the top, which was like an overhand, and just cracked him. They kind of threw like the same punch at the same time, except kind of like a la Dan Hardy versus Carlos Condit, where they both threw like left hooks. They threw like two threes and left hooks both landed, but Dan Hardy took the worst of that exchange, and it just seemed like Carlos Condit had his chin a little bit more tucked and landed first and a little bit more cleaner, and he knocked him out. So I gotta watch that one as well. So there's a couple fights I still gotta watch. Dan Ige, they said this was like 22 seconds. I thought it was a little shorter than that, but I went back and watched. I guess they were correct. It felt like a 5 second fight. Gavin Tucker looked like he was loading up, backed up, getting a feeler, stepped off hard, overcommitted on his step, covered a lot of ground, which shows you how explosive he is. And I'm a big fan of Gavin Tucker. I think his kickboxing is badass. His Muay Thai, his stand-up, it looks great. Like, super clean, super technical, and it looks like he's not bad on the ground either with his grappling, because I saw some of his stuff and the way he gets finishes. So you got that fight, and then Ige catches him coming in and knocks him clean out. Just one shot, knew it was done, and that's it. And Dan Ige hits hard. I always tell him when we spar or when we're drilling, I'm like, dude, your fists, they're just so heavy. It's like you're just tapping me, and I just feel the impact. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I'm just small. I mean, I'm not like tiny, but I'm like, dude, I feel like those punches while we're drilling, I know you're not like just tapping me, but still, it shouldn't hurt like that. Like, geez, I feel that. So congrats to Dan Ige, who's also going to be a father soon. And he's got a baby on the way. Ryan Spann versus Misha Cirkunov. Did not think this fight was going to go this way. I got to put a lot of respect on Ryan Spann's name because he came in. I thought he was just kind of like one of those fighters. I just felt like he wasn't a martial artist. He just felt like one of those guys who just comes in because they get a couple knockouts and they just kind of just swing and bang. But the guy's technical, and he's proven me wrong over and over again. the fight with Johnny Walker, he should have won that. He kind of messed that one up, but that's on him. He knew that, he recognized that, and he's made the adjustment, taking on a tough guy like Misha Cirkunov. That's a big win for him. So I think for him to get a win like that over a guy like that when he was on such a crazy dominant role, it's good for him. You know, he's 29 years old, he's 6'5", he's got a huge frame. I think the sky's the limit for this guy. So now at this point, I do think he's got a big opportunity to get a big step up in name value and can really see if he can really push his envelope a little bit further and maybe get himself a title shot in the light heavyweight division. Now the main event, Leon Edwards versus Bilal. This one is only two rounds. Short and sweet. Edwards was dominating. Bilal did have one moment where he landed a nasty elbow in the clinch on the break. He only had 3 weeks to prepare for this fight. I get what he's saying. They should run it back. I kind of have to agree with that, given the circumstances. But I do kind of agree with Leon Edwards in the circumstances of you haven't fought in a while. You've been on such a long streak. The fight ended in this way. And the foul was committed on Leon Edwards. He poked him the first time. Got warned, and then the second time, this one was the guy dug his eye out, pretty much just really yanked his eyeball out. So walkout song was fire, though. That's very random, but walkout song was fire. And I was just really, really, really shocked and disappointed how this fight ended because it was getting so good. Like, Leon landed a nasty head kick, landing a nasty 1-2 combination. He had some highlight moments in there, just looked very composed. One thing I will say is, like, when he had him hurt, he kept going for takedowns, which I didn't really understand, which he's done that in previous fights. So I always said, like, that's always been, like, his thing for whatever reason. But unfortunately, the fight ended the way it did. Both guys have valid points. I'm not sure what the UFC is going to do. You can make the argument, which I saw, which would be interesting, him versus Colby Covington. I do think if they don't run it back, Bilal should take time, let his eye heal, obviously. Give him a full training camp, and you got to give him someone in that top 10. I think he should be rewarded with at least someone to make that worth it to some degree. And maybe if he wins that one, they can run it back in the future or something like that. And eventually this Edwards versus Masvidal fight needs to happen because that three-piece of soda ain't never going away. And someone has to make it right by having a fair fist fight and figure it out like that, you know, because obviously it was, you know, he ran up on him, bing, bing, bing. But I would like to see who would actually win that fight when both guys are training for each other and see what happens in the octagon. But other than that, I got to get going. We have a flight to catch in a couple hours. So hopefully I can get the audio version of this up and have that up and done with. And then the video, I'm going to have to do that maybe on the plane or something, and hopefully I can get it uploaded while at the airport. That would be sick, but probably not gonna happen because we gotta leave soon and I gotta get some food. So thank you guys, as always. If you like my shit, subscribe to my shit, or spin it backwards, baby. I'll see you guys later. Stay safe, and don't forget the champs are in town, Pumi and the Funk. And remember, some say he's an actor, some say he's a champ, so I don't know. Whatever you want to roll, just troll on. Just keep on trolling, baby. Keep on trolling. Keep on trolling. Peace.
That's the show. You ain't gotta go home, but you gotta get to stepping. And remember, we bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.